This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is right here in the studio. His name is Vaughn Clark. He's a prophet. And whenever I get together with prophets, Vaughn, I ask the question, what has God shown you that will happen this year?
Well, Sid, the beginning of this year, the Lord spoke two things to me. He said that this was a season for exposure and that the Holy Spirit was going to be confronting the things that need to be changed in people's lives. And then there would be repentance and healing. And then there would be the visitation of glory. And over in Hosea 7:1, it says, when I would have healed Israel or Ephraim, then the sin was uncovered. And instead of that being a negative thing, when God is ready to heal and to reveal His glory, then the Holy Spirit touches what needs to be changed. And another thing He spoke to me, that this year everybody would be exposed, that they would, their flesh would be exposed, their strongholds would be exposed, and that people would be uncertain. And for me to sit light in the judgment seat because the same shaking would be on me.
Have you had shaking this year?
Very much so. You know, I flowed in the prophetic for years, and I minister to people, and I preach. And just recently, probably in the last couple of years, I'd say since 1999, there has been an unsettling in me. And it hasn't had to do with the circumstances in the nation and the world, but it's been a real personal unsettling. And I just started pressing into God, asking Him what was wrong with me. And about 2 or 3 months ago, He began to tell me that I had a broken heart, and I'd had a broken heart my entire life, and that I had gangrene in my soul.
And help me out. What is a broken heart, in your opinion?
Well, since I have walked through this, and I feel like that I'm 3/4 of the way through it now, and I'm still receiving a lot of personal deliverance in my life, but I've known the presence of God, and I've known peace, but I've never had peace. And I've known joy and happiness, but I've never had joy or happiness. And there was always like a melancholy, and I've always had to stand against a negativity and a depression in my life, and just feeling disconnected and like I didn't belong, and I never understood it. And I, you know, of course, I've received a lot of ministry, and I minister to people, and the Lord has always been there, but it was nothing that I could grasp or put my hold on, put my hand on. And I was going down into Florida, and again, I was praying. And a young man came to me and he said, I felt led to give you these worship tapes. And I had really been kind of distant from the Lord in my quiet time and in the times of seeking the Lord.
There's a very big difference, unfortunately, and should not be, between the public ministry and the private ministry of most people.
Right. And see, I think that if you've got a lot of inferiority or things in your life where you've been broken, especially when you're anointed to minister, that it's very easy for us to project who we are as being what we do. But we all do that. We want to achieve and to hold up our achievement and say, this is what I do. See what a good person I am. And it's very easy to either get into a failure mentality or a works mentality with God and say, Father, love me. Look what I do. But, you know, he got a package deal with all of us, and he knew what he was getting before he got it. You know, and that's the mystery of the love of God. And then I went home and then was driving back up to North Carolina. And again, I was just miserable. And I said, Lord, what's wrong? And he said, I told you that you have a broken heart. And I also feel like that there are soul ties to my past. And I see it now. Things that bound me to events in my past. I've battled with bitterness and unforgiveness for my entire life. And for 31 years of my life, there was a battle with the spirit of suicide. And I was delivered from that. And I put on these worship tapes and begin to worship. And the Lord says, now honor my presence. And when I began to do that, in about a 10-minute period of time, my eyes were open to years of repressed memories that I didn't remember. And my first reaction...
Out of curiosity, how far back did these repressed memories
probably
go?
Probably to 2 years old.
That's amazing.
To about 2 years old. And then all the way through, especially my young childhood and early adolescence, just a collage of things that I had been completely put out of my mind. And the first reaction is that it just literally broke my heart. And then the next thing, I began to experience rage and anger.
Because you saw something that was done to you.
Oh,
when you were helpless.
I began to understand why a lot of the, I had a very self-destructive personality given to addiction and excess of every kind. Very, very self-destructive, and I began to understand that. And then the next thing that happened to me, Sid, is that I got, I almost a helplessness came over me. And again, all this happened in about a 10-minute period of time. And I said, well, I have nothing to give people anymore. I can't preach. I'm messed up. But the Lord says, no, that's not true. He said, I'm doing what I told you I was going to do. And he said, I have lanced this. And he said, it is draining out of your soul, and you're being healed, and you're going to be all right.
He's lanced the gangrene,
from that broken heart. And what's happened is that literally the bitterness is going away from me. The unforgiveness is going away from me. The negative self-judgments that I've had. And I've realized that the key was not in me knowing what was wrong with me, but to want to be free and to turning to intimacy with God. Now, you think about this. We've got all of these self-help programs, and if I know why I'm the way I am, then I can be whole. That just produces frustration in people. I believe that if you've got repressed memories, that it is the grace of God holding that back from you, so that you, till a point that you can deal with it. But you know that when people that handle money are trying to learn about counterfeit, they don't study counterfeit, they study the real. And I believe that the push of the Holy Spirit right now is to bring us into intimacy with the bridegroom. Because how are you going to marry somebody you won't kiss? And he is purifying his bride right now. And I believe that this same grace for deliverance and repentance, because see, there was some repentance attached to this too, because I began to understand the patterns of sin in my life and why I had been so driven in certain areas of my life. And I feel so refreshed, Sid, and I can tell you that I'm 48 years old. I've been saved 25 years, and I have never had more peace and joy than I have now.
And so at the beginning of the year, the Lord said that this was a year that he was going to deal with the hidden sins.
Right, the hidden things. And this is a shaking. But it's not a shaking for destruction. It's a shaking for preparation.
And most people, when they get shook, if they're believers, they immediately point their finger at the devil.
Right. Or they want to turn away from God instead of to him. See, just realize this, that any time God is dealing with me or you or any Christian about repentance and change, it literally is a mark of approval. It's not punishment. He's saying, child, come up higher. Let's go deeper. My grace is on you. I wouldn't be touching this if my grace and power wasn't here. I'm ready to bring you up. Come on. But we're so insecure that we take it as a mark of disapproval.
If, and I know we can't, and you just made that statement to me, But if we were to reduce this to a formula, which you can't, God's bigger than any formula that we could do, but if we were to reduce it to a formula, I heard the key coming out of your mouth. Explain how someone can push towards intimacy with God. That's the key.
One of the key issues of grace that we don't understand is that he chose us. We didn't choose him. And that his grace literally changed our heart to want him. And that his grace is working in us to will to do his pleasure. And I believe that if when God asked Solomon, ask anything you will, if Solomon, instead of asking for wisdom, had said, give me a heart that loves you above all else, that the history of Israel would have been different because knowledge puffeth up. And we've had this mentality, what it says over in Colossians 2, of will worship, that we think we're going to build our Jesus muscle and become superstars. But the reality is that we are dependent upon him for every change that comes, and we have to ask him to give us the heart that would be pleasing to him. And I believe that we need to begin to ask the Lord to give us love for him. One of the old hymns said, more love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. This is my earnest cry. This is my plea. And I believe that right now the bridegroom is saying, come, and that he is drawing us to seek him to change our hearts.
Well, you remind me of the most holy prayer in traditional Judaism. It's Deuteronomy 6:4. Shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And then Jesus added, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we need. And we can only get that from God. Vaughn, I want you to just hold your thoughts because it's going to be a very, very intriguing week, Mishpocha. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to meddle a little with you for good, for good. Let me read a scripture to you. It's found in Amos, the 7th chapter, the 7th verse. This is what he showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then he said, I will test my people with a plumb line. What is God's plumb line for this moment in history? I don't think there can be any doubt. Not only the prophet Joel in the 3rd chapter says the plumb line, but our Messiah in the 25th chapter of Matthew tells us the plumb line. The plumb line is Israel. The plumb line is the Jewish people. And one of the major things God has shown me is to educate believers to where his heart is at this moment so we can be for God rather than against him. And those that are connected with this ministry, and those that are praying for this ministry, and those that are giving to this ministry are accomplishing this fruit. Because the plumb line, when it's understood, opens you and the church up to such blessings. I'm asking you to consider giving a gift to this ministry this week. Call or write today.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime the same number, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send $5 to Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to our past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. Oh,
trumpet inside.